I'm not there, but I'm getting better. Maybe next time I'll learn how to sing these psalms better. Kind of confusing to me still. But that's good. So glad to be here among you again. Today, we're going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39. I'm actually going to start in verse 34b. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Starting in verse 34. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. We just read the psalm. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, we humbly ask that you will let us rest assured of your love for us as we reflect on your words today, the words that you've given to our brother Paul of Tarsus, who is now in your eternal rest. Open our hearts to your instruction, and please have compassion on this preacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who likes charades here? If you do, I'm going to start with a little charade. The less light I get, the better you see me. Who am I? The less light I get, the better you see me. Can you guess what this is? Hang on to the end of the sermon and you'll see. So we're now in chapter 8, in the middle of a letter. So we just got here. What's the context? What's going on in this letter to the Romans? This is Paul's message to the church in Rome. It's a church made out of Jews and non-Jewish people. And Paul is teaching them the gospel that unites them. And a gospel that says that even when people from all the nations kept breaking God's law over and over again, Jesus paid their penalty so that they could enjoy God's love forever. So that's the gist of it. That's the gist of the whole letter. And especially in chapter 8. But what does this have to do with us? We are just like the church in Rome. We are weak. We're fearful. We're surrounded by hardship. And we're eager to feel safe and secure. We're eager to attain stability. Who here doesn't want complete safety, stability, not having one worry in your life? So this text is also useful to us in our daily lives. Now, if you're taking notes, this is the time where you take notes on the main point of the verses 35 to 39. Here it is, the big idea. God's love is absolutely guaranteed in Christ. Again, God's love is absolutely guaranteed in Christ. Simple as that. Now, wouldn't it be great if hearing that little sentence was all it took for us to feel absolutely safe? I mean, okay, God's love is guaranteed. I have God's love, cool. So who's playing tonight? What's for dinner? Let's buy a little puppy to play with till Christ returns. Let's deal with other stuff. I feel safe already. But no, because we're weak, because we're doubtful, and because we're forgetful, we're going to hop on a tour of all kinds of circumstances that Paul brings, circumstances that make us doubt this very guarantee, okay? So let's go to verse 35. Paul talks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword, or we could say gun violence, if we're translating for today. So let's start with distress. Who here doesn't deal with anxiety? Who here isn't or doesn't know anyone who fights depression? This might be your case, and you might also be going through a period of long mourning, or maybe you're going through some frustration in your relationships, maybe with your family, maybe with a loved one, or maybe you're dealing with abandonment. Or other types of tribulation. He mentions tribulation in general. So we all have tribulations in our marriages. Or maybe you're dealing with problems with addictions. Maybe you have some sort of severe illness that has been dragging for years. Maybe you have some issues with finances and trade, or there are some problems in your workplace. Some of you might be thinking, I don't know, I just lost my house, or I lost my spouse, or my business. Has God's love abandoned me? Also, Paul talks about persecution and hunger. Christians around the world suffer hunger and life-threatening persecution by wicked rulers and powers every day. And young people in the U.S., often they will suffer social pressures in college and pressures in their universities to keep silent about their faith. There are growing academic and professional barriers for the gospel in this country, and faith is often talked about with contemptuous or patronizing words. There's also danger or sword. The church as a whole in history has been subject to violence and acts of terrorism so many times. And violence may find us even if it has nothing to do with our faith, right? Why else would we feel the need to protect ourselves by carrying guns at home or in our car? Violence is everywhere. And then there's nakedness. Boy, that's a tough one. It's tough because nakedness doesn't always come out of poverty, of extreme poverty. If you've ever been to a Holocaust museum, you know what I'm saying. They took everything from the Jews. That's worse than a mere embarrassment. It's worse than just feeling exposed. That kind of nakedness is taking away someone's very sense of dignity. Now think about Job, that guy from the Old Testament, who tore his clothes after Satan was under God's authority, took the lives of his workers, took his livestock, his possessions, took the support and respect of his wife, and took his own children in a windstorm. Much like that windstorm that happened with this devastating hurricane season. And may the Lord help those poor people. And may the Lord help us help them. And then there are those who have suffered internal devastation. Victims of abuse have had their nakedness violated, their self-esteem so damaged to the point that they might even ask themselves, I've been used and discarded. How can I ever be loved by anyone, let alone by a God that is holy and pure? Dear brothers and sisters, the enemies, they may take our possessions, our belongings, our bodies, and the lives of our dear ones, but no tribulation, no anxiety, no distress, no persecution, hunger, danger, or sword will ever separate us from God's love? Let's go to verse 36. Take a look at it. What you see there is a clamor. It's a prayer. And this verse is a psalm of the family of Levi. It's a family of priests. They would be constantly offering sacrifices to God. It was a family chosen by God Himself to serve God. And they feel forsaken, abandoned by God. Now, this is a prayer that, at least in our day and time, everyone has said at least once. Lord, I'm your child, I'm your servant. Why have you allowed such a thing to happen to me? How long, O Lord, will I have to endure this hardship? But compare this prayer to the prayer in verse 36. Note here that this psalm is not a lament from an individual. It's a communal lament. So the best analogy would be, how long, O Lord, will we have to endure this hardship? Never think that you're the only person who's going through a rough patch. All the people of God suffer, and they suffer every single day. So take comfort in that company and bring comfort to those who are mourning, to those who are going through a rough patch. You're not the only one with problems, but you might be the one who God will use to help solve someone else's problem. So there's a question in verse 36. How long will we have to endure this hardship? And Paul's answer is in verse 37. Paul says that in all this, we are present. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Or in all this, another translation could be, we prevail mightily through Christ. And what does that look like? What does it mean to be more than conqueror? Today, it might look like a student who has to retake a course because he refused to cheat on his finals. Or maybe it could look like a businessman who's being crushed by the competition for sticking to his work ethics. Or it could look like a girl who turned in her own abusive father to the authorities and now is without a father. We'll look like losers, but we're more than conquerors today in the midst of hardship. What's that song from Shrek? She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. That's how we look like today. But in the future, it looks like an eternal crown. Not like an Olympic medal that one day you win and another day you don't. No, in Christ, we shall prevail forever. Verses 38 and 39. Look at Paul's conclusion. Paul ends his list saying that no spiritual or worldly powers, no government officials, no intellectuals, not your sins of the present, or any faith crisis that you might have in the future, and no living creature, not even you or your own will, can separate yourself from God's love. Let me explain this a little bit better. When Paul says that no life can separate us from Christ, we often think of someone else's life, the life of an enemy, right? When he says that no other creature can separate us from God's love, we might think of spiritual creatures, or we might think of enemies that we have. But we're also creatures. And I know, at least I hope you're alive there and listening. But when Paul says that no life and none other creature can separate us from God's love, he's talking about you as well. No living creature, not even us, not even your own will, can separate yourself from God's love. It's assured. That's the whole point of guaranteed. Not even you can unguarantee. I don't know if that's a word, fact. Not even you can do that. We have time. We can go to Romans 9. Just go a few, turn a few pages. Romans 9:16. Romans 9, verse 16. Go there with me to see what I'm saying. Paul here says in verse 16, "So then, it depends not on human will or on human exertion, but on God, who has mercy." You see? It does not depend on even our will, not even us, not even our wretchedness, not even our sin can separate us from God's love. Praise God for that, guys, because we sometimes are our greatest enemies. So, thank you, Lord, for working your love in us despite ourselves. This all sounds good. We have pretty much covered the whole text. But how do we live this? Okay, it's an assurance, we know. But how do we put this into practice, right? How does that help my sick mother who's at the hospital? How does that solve my anger issues? How does that help my marriage that is falling apart? How does that stop the racism and violence between some white cops and some black civilians? How does that help that? Let me tell you how. It gives people perspective. So we talked about anger issues, right? And violence. So this truth that we have guaranteed love from God, this truth diverts anger, right? Because Christ's love is absorbed. Christ's love has absorbed the Father's anger against us. So this has freed us from being angry with others. And this reminds us that no matter how big our frustration is, our future eternal peace is even bigger. It's empowering. It gives us perspective. Now, it can also remind us that racial diversity is a portrait of heaven. How does it do that? It reminds us that if God forgave us from our wrongdoings, we are also empowered to forgive those who have wronged us. Racial tensions are not only about race. They are about that as well. And because we are all going to be together as one people from among all nations in Christ, that gives us assurance, but that also gives us the assurance that we are empowered to forgive those who don't have that mindset, who don't have this vision, because Christ forgave us. It also reminds Christian spouses that even if their vows to each other are being broken, God's vows to them will never be. Even if they're hurting each other, even if it seems that they can never trust anyone anymore, God can be trusted. And this assurance that God loves us and nothing can separate us also decreases fear. Every single suffering, every single illness and hardship has an expiration date for those who are in Christ. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. That's the power of true love. This is not just a concept. It's not just an idea, this generic love that some might say is there and available for everyone. You just gotta love and that's it. What does that mean? No. It's an active commitment. And it came to us first. Jesus Christ endured and overcame tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death, Satan, rulers, powers, and a life in the flesh. He overcame everything and he endured everything. Coming from the Most High to the bottom of a grave so that we could enjoy freedom from all kinds of evil forever. That's what Christ did. That is true love. Now, do you remember that little charade? What was it again? The less light that I get, the better you see me. Who am I? Stars,
Could be.
Not this time. Am I darkness? It's a good idea, but nope. Kind of, but no. Am I that awesome total eclipse that happened weeks ago? Uh-uh. Look under your feet. Just lift them up a little bit. Wave your arms. What am I talking about? Exactly. The less light I get, the better you see me. Who am I? I'm your shadow. Can you run faster than your shadow? Can you hide from it? Can you rip it off and separate it from you? When tribulations come, look to your own shadow and remember that Christ's love is also stuck with you, now and forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have given us the greatest gift of all. You have given us the assurance of an eternal life with you, and you have paid the price for our wrongdoings. Please, please let us go home and remember this. Let this be a reason of empowerment. Let this be something that will help us love one another. Let this help our relationships. Let this love and this assurance give us overwhelming peace, a peace that is beyond any understanding. And let us share that peace with others, because your love overcomes it all, and it has overcome everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.